What's up, handsome rambler listeners? This is Tony Trim. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 51 with Neil Brennan, co-creator of The Chappelle Show. He's also got a new Netflix special out called Three Mics. It's really good. I highly recommend it. Really, really good stuff. But anyways, before we get this episode started, I just want to announce some Hannibal tour dates. We got March 26th in Little Rock, Arkansas at Revolution Music Room. March 27th in Memphis, Tennessee at Minglewood Hall. March 28th, we got a live taping of the Handsome Rambler podcast at Third Man Records. That's Jack White's studio in Nashville. They got a live venue in there, and we're going to do the live podcast in there. So come check us out on March 28th. And then March 29th through March 31st, we're going to be playing 5 shows in Nashville, Tennessee at Zany's. And then April 1st, we'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Moorhead Street Tavern. And then on April 11th, we'll be in Seattle at the Neptune Theater. And then we're going to do 5 more shows in Seattle from April 12th through the 14th at Laughs Comedy Club. April 15th, we'll be in Portland, Oregon at the Keller Auditorium. May 9th in Missoula, Montana at the Wilma. May 10th in Boise at the Knitting Factory. May 11th in Spokane at the Knitting Factory. May 12th in Salt Lake City, Utah at the Complex. May 17th in Port Chester, New York at the Capitol Theater. May 18th will be in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Academy of Music's Opera House. May 19th will be in Philly, Miriam Theater. So yeah, I think some of these are sold out. Well, I know some of these are sold out, but go to HannibalBurris.com/tour and get some tickets and come see us. I'll be there. Hannibal will be there and some special guests. So hurry up and get your tickets now at HannibalBurris.com/tour and enjoy the podcast.
Start the show.
Having spent the last 4 days with you, yeah. I feel like I understand your voice better than I've ever understood it. And what it is it's like it's organized scatteredness. Very inspired and really like just like it's I could not predict what you were going to say. Me and Hannibal just did a show together, like a TV show.
He's around me for 3 days.
I wrote a pilot for Comedy Central, and it's a fake travel show, and the show is Hannibal, and Hannibal shows me around Chicago, and then shit happens, but I would write like areas for Hannibal, and then he would attack them, and with abandon. Thank you, Tony. And I couldn't have predicted. You said skeet on feet, which I'd never heard before. You used the term skeet on feet, which I was like, I don't know where the fuck. Had you thought of that before?
I think, I don't know. I just was trying to say creepy stuff.
Yeah, and skeet on feet.
I think maybe somebody else, other people just talk about fucking with feet.
Yeah.
I think maybe, because Chappelle does a joke saying
yeah,
I fuck
fucking feet.
Feet.
Yeah.
And I think I just thought something creepy. I said
skeet on feet. Yeah,
and
yeah,
I just regurgitated.
Yeah, it was great. Fantastic. That was but it was non-linear, but right on target. Which is beautiful.
Hoodclips.com.
Hoodclips.com. What is black... Tony, what would you say? We were trying to think of what the black Pornhub is. Is there a black Pornhub, or you just...
Black porn... I think you just go to...
Yeah, you type in Evan.
Yeah,
that's what but there are some sites, though.
Yeah. Hoodclips. I guess Hoodclips.
Not Hoodclips, but it's like there's one, Ghetto Gaggers, and there's some hood shit. It's something Ghetto with Gaggers. Hood. GhettoGaggers.com. You know?
It's a Hoodclip. You know what's a, it's black porn, because at the end they fight. They have a street fight at the end. They fuck, and then they go like, what? Someone breaks in, then they spar.
Yeah.
That
was fun, though, man.
Yeah, it was fun. You were fucking very funny, and we had a nice, it became like a buddy movie.
It was definitely weird, and it was a fun shoot. I don't shoot in Chicago.
Yeah.
I shoot something maybe once a year. Yeah. Maybe, and so it was fun to just be out and working in those areas, man.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything on, we were on Division in Laramie. That's 5 minutes from where I grew up.
Is it really?
Yeah.
The premise is that Hannibal gets a mural dedicated to him, but he fucking looks bad in it. And that's the mural.
That's awesome.
But it was huge. It was like
huge.
Yeah, I can see in scale.
It was like 3 stories high on the side of a building.
Okay.
And then we have to fix it, et cetera, et cetera. Comedy ensues. Tony Trim, what's going on with you, man?
Pretty much this. This has been my life. Just this company Moog has just been sending me all kinds of funky shit.
I think it's Moog.
It's Moog.
Is it Moog?
Yeah, it's
Moog. Is it really?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's Moog.
Everybody thinks it's Moog.
Yeah.
That's how it's spelled.
Yeah, why wouldn't you think that?
Pronounce Moog. So they've been giving me a lot of toys, so I've just been in the studio, just busy.
In the studio.
Nerding out.
Me and Hannibal were singing songs on the show.
Yeah?
Just freestyling songs.
Freestyling.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So basically, I was chilling.
Yeah, he was Hannibal. You know it was Hannibal because he was singing songs.
Why is he not singing and rapping?
By the way, on the way over, so there's a white supremacist rally somewhere.
In Oakland?
No.
Oh,
no,
good.
They wouldn't fucking bother with that
shit.
But they, Arian Foster had a thing where he said their bars is trash. Let's talk about it real quick and see. Because they were on some chanting shit.
They were chant. Oh.
They chanted, but...
Oh.
Now we start the deportation. White nations.
White nations.
Now we start the deportation.
Oh.
White nations.
White
nations.
Closed borders.
Closed borders. Now we start the deportation.
Now we start the deportation.
Oh.
Is nation
run that terrible shit back again? Run that terrible shit back.
White nations.
White nations.
Now we start the deportation.
All right, cut that shit out of it.
I gotta say, hearing it, reading it, I was like, "That's not bad. That's not a bad rhyme." But now hearing it, it didn't work at all.
It sounds off. Ugh.
Closed borders, white nation. Now we start the deportation. Well, that's what you get when you got white people trying to write. You know what I mean? Hot rhymes without some kind of supervision, you're gonna get just whack shit. That's what we have to look forward to. In the white nation deportation.
What? Close the borders.
Let's relax. See if we can beat it. Should we try to beat it?
You
want to write for them?
Write for them?
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah. I know. America's where you wanna be, but I'm gonna need you to leave my country.
Great.
America's where you wanna be, but sorry, I'ma need you to leave my country.
Great. Alright.
I know you got a son and a daughter, but we're gonna close up the border. No anchor babies, no ifs, ands, or maybes. You wanna be in my country, but I need you to leave. It's really not too fun for me when I see these immigrants up in my country. Whoa.
That's good, man.
I didn't realize that was in me.
That's what happened to a lot of people. Being regular, and then they saw the rally, and
Wait a second, you know what?
And they started walking toward it and just saying rhymes.
I just realized I don't like immigrants.
White supremacist.
Shit! Oh, man.
Yeah, man. That's right there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you're black, so you can write, you can spit at a level that the average white supremacist can't. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Here he goes again. You're about
I need you to leave. I need you to go. Please leave. You gotta go. You gotta go. USA, there's nothing that you could say to make me want to keep you here. You gotta go. I don't care if you fly, take a train or boat, you gotta go. We don't want you here no more. You taking jobs, those jobs is ours. Y'all lies, you liars, criminals, get out of here. Don't be leaving no subliminal babies.
Subliminal babies.
Subliminal babies.
Yeah, no subliminal babies.
Nah,
yeah.
Nah, there's no place for that in our country.
Nah, man.
So.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. We probably cut that out. Nah, we're gonna leave that there.
You gotta leave. The first round was like straight was heat.
How long did you write on all that?
Okay, what happened was I was writing for Singled Out. I wrote for the pilot for Singled Out on MTV, right?
This is
1995. Chris Hardwick, and Jenny McCarthy.
That's right.
And
Chris Hardwick been at they ass for a minute. Here. God damn.
Yep.
22 years in the game.
Deep. Yeah. And more like than a pretty high level.
Yeah.
And I wrote for the pilot of all that in the office next door to us, in that we shared an office in like a common space, was the dudes from the sitcom Head of the Class. I don't know if you remember Head of the Class, but it was on ABC.
I remember that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the British guy, right?
It became the British guy. That was later on.
Oh, okay.
It was these dudes, Dan Schneider and Brian Robbins. And they were starting this kid sketch show, and I pitched to them. Yeah. I pitched some ideas. They were like, you're not right for this year. They didn't hire me. And then when they got picked up the second season, they brought me in. And that was like 1995, I guess.
God damn.
I wrote for, 5 months probably on all that, season two, which some say is the best season. No, I don't know what they say. Historians will tell you is the best year of all the... no, but I was not good at it, and I did not get much shit on. I did write the Pierre Escargot, Keenan in the Bathtub. That was mine.
The original?
Yep.
The OG?
Yep.
Okay.
And now, All That presents a semi-educational moment. Holiday French with Pierre Escargot.
Est-ce que je peux vous offrir un test dans Grusier Show? Merry Christmas. May I get you a cup of hot fat? Ce n'est pas à l'hôtel sur ma grand-mère. That's not an elf. That's my grandmother. Hey, regarde tout coup sa reine à la veille et sire mon tuif. Hey, look what the reindeer left on my roof.
And I wrote what was the milkman? Some shit. Was there maybe Kel had a character? I don't know. Something with turkey. I don't know what the fuck it was. Some allergy shit. And, I wrote an ear boy that was pretty hot. And, but they mostly would just make fun of me. In fact, Brian Robbins at one point said, I should have fired you when I had the chance. Which is pretty fucking funny for a boss to just say, hey, I should have fired you.
Is this after? This is like years
no,
after?
No, this is during the show.
During the show?
They pick up my option, and then he jokingly, not really jokingly, because I wasn't really getting anything on, said, I should have fired you when I had the chance.
Yeah.
And Dan Schneider used to throw shit at me. And he made us go to a gun range at one point. That's the only time
he had his own gun range?
No, but he was just like, he loved guns, the dude. And he made us go to a gun range to like in the middle of the writing day, which I was like, I hate this. It's the only time I've ever been to a gun range.
Did it, when you, did y'all go back to the room after that?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Did you feel more productive?
I just felt like it was also just shitty to like go from a gun range to like writing kids' sketch comedy. You know what I mean?
Maybe he was trying to create a dark vibe.
You know, that was the motif of the season was violence. But it was a good experience, Hannibal. I'll tell you why. Maybe you can relate to this. I don't know if you care about writing at all on TV shows, but it gave me a good, like I would think of something and not say it, and then somebody else would pitch it.
Yeah.
And get it. I'd be like, see, I should just say shit. When I think of it, and that was like it gave me that sort of like not confidence, but it was like gave me like, oh, okay, I like if I'm just think of the shit, you just say the shit you think of, because in a writer's room it can get like you get shy or you get like you get in your head like you're not pitching enough,
yeah,
you got to come with it, you haven't said shit, that dude got three ideas in a row, or and then that was like where I was finally like, eh, let me just pitch.
Yeah, you gotta let him fly.
Yeah, exactly.
If you even if it's not right in that form, somebody else might.
Somebody else might tag
onto it and like you know, set it for the right.
You can try to inspire someone else with like, this isn't the idea, but here's the area.
Yeah,
maybe.
Do you get like some kind of a commission if they use more of your jokes? Do you get like? No. Do they throw you a bonus or something?
No. On TV, if you're just on the staff, like a lot of times, if you see like a sitcom will be written by so and so.
Yeah,
but that just means they wrote the first draft.
Yeah,
the whole room, 15 people could rewrite it. You could end up having no jokes in it.
Yeah,
and but you get credit. That happens a lot on The Simpsons, apparently, where they'll rewrite the shit out of everything to the point where like whoever has credit may not even have the most jokes on it.
Dude, they wanted the season finale of 30 Rock.
Yeah,
when I was there, there was a script that was group written, just in the room from scratch. From page one through just in the room.
Can I guess who got credit for it?
Yeah.
Tina Fey, Robert Carlock?
Hannibal Buress.
Hannibal Buress. Ooh, to the week.
The season finale of 30 Rock. Season 5, I think. And I was not cool with it.
Oh, because... Oh, that's funny.
I was like... Because I think they drew in the room and they were like... And I maybe got a couple jokes in it at that.
Were you not cool? That's such a comics way to think of it. Cause
dog,
like
I was panicking. I was like, I talked to another writer that was there, Volley. I was like, yo, man, they're giving me credit for this. I didn't really do shit on this. And then I was.
Did you feel guilty or you felt like you didn't want the credit?
It felt weird, man. Because I knew if it's a written by and it's not even close to a written by. It's not even a.
Yeah.
Third, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't like it.
That's interesting. That happens a lot on I did a pilot and it got picked up, but like I had nothing, like, and I get money every time it's on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they reshot the pilot and I still get money for every episode. And I'm like, okay. I mean, cool, but I'm not like proud of it or nothing. It's just one of those like
when I would do press around closer
that's
to
so
the
funny.
End
yeah
they'd be like, and they'd so. Be like so the way you connected the storylines in the season finale, I mean, first of all, that was one of my favorite episodes ever. It was crazy. I mean, just the tone of it was bananas. And what were you? And I'm like, yeah, you know, we were just trying to.
Yeah, it's funny when I thought of it. Yeah, because you can't explain to someone like, no, I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. Yeah, that's happened to me before, where it's like, yeah, all right, yeah, I'll take credit, but like, I didn't really have shit to do with it. Hold on, let me blow my nose.
Snot out. Snot out. bugs out, now the slides out. Yeah.
Chris did some savage shit last night, by the way. Chris Rock, we're in Oakland with Chris. And they were talking about, I'm thinking about this because I saw Chris do something gross, which I think I'm going to Instagram for Halloween because it was the scariest shit I've ever seen, which is plate of food, plate of Chris's dinner, and then 6 inches away, he's clipping his own fingernails. I was like, this is fucking wild shit. And then Sherrod Small, his cousin, said, you think that's gross? You've never seen Chris blow his nose with leaves.
Oh!
And I was like, that's not even on the same, that's not even on the same fucking, like, plane to me.
What? Like a recent Chris?
No, like when they were kids, oh, blowing, like playing,
oh,
football.
Oh, okay.
That would be funny if Chris Rock still blew his nose with leaves.
Yeah, it's like, it's on his rider. Can I get a box of leaves?
Says I'm just outside, just picturing it windy and just like,
but like, but that's some snot. I mean, I see people do snot rockets, not like regularly. But like, that's fairly, like, leaves to me is not better than snot rockets.
Yeah, it's nature. As long as it's not poison ivy, poison oak, or something, you all. Gross.
But the fingernails, I found. I mean, it's his dinner.
Yeah.
So God bless.
Yeah, but still.
But
it's,
like,
it's a weird.
Loose fingernails, loose hair, anything around the food.
But you, it's yourself, it's your DNA.
It's
so
all DNA. It's all
really
your DNA.
You're just, maybe you're strengthening your own human.
Maybe that's what part of one of his secrets.
Yeah.
One of his comedy secrets, he eats his own nails.
Yeah, maybe that's
well,
how
well,
it becomes.
People got the nail biting thing going on. They eat their own nails all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. LeBron eats his nails every game and they show it, which is a weird. Do they still? Does he still do it?
I don't know.
When he goes to the bench in the third quarter, they always show him, like.
Really?
Oh, but shout out to Hannibal Buress also for. We probably shouldn't say this on the air, but Hannibal Buress has broken off his NBA streaming. What is it? NBA
League Pass.
NBA League Pass. I do. I have been given the password, and it's. I've had a couple of really great nights.
It's outstanding. You just check in on the game?
Yeah. Check in, check out. You can. I watched the condensed one last night.
15 minutes,
all the scoring.
That's it. You went for a league pass. You can. It's all the NBA games. You pick, and then you can. After the game is done, you can pick a condensed version, and it just shows the scoring.
And they've that edited it down.
15
for
minutes.
Do they do that for baseball?
They absolutely should.
Yeah. Hey, I feel like I'm louder than you guys. Is that? I feel like you're.
Well. Nah, that's just
that's
it doesn't matter. I can always fix it in post.
Oh, you can? All right, so you got this on channels. All right.
Yeah, we're good.
Let my man let Hannibal get some. Yeah, no, Hannibal gave me it's been great. And which begs the question, Neil, why not just get your own password?
It's
some other shit. That's what here's another thing I've learned about Hannibal in the last 3 days. A cheap man. Not maybe per capita, for the amount of money I think you have, your cheapness level is fucking impressive. it's really like we're in an Airbnb right now.
Yeah,
Hannibal's doing shows with Chris Rock. I know the neighborhood of what he's making. Chris would have gotten him a hotel. He's probably given you some stipend for the hotel, right?
They offered me a hotel.
And did you take the money?
I'm getting money, yeah.
Yeah, so you're taking the money. I know how much the rooms cost, where we're staying.
Right.
Hannibal's making $100 a night profit off of this Airbnb. And he gets a three-bedroom Airbnb. In fact, as a thank you for doing my pilot for Comedy Central, I'm going to get you, and I wanted to present it on the air today. Yeah. I'm getting you $1,000 Airbnb gift certificate.
Oh,
gifts on gifts on gifts. $1,000. Which for Hannibal is going to probably get you 5 nights.
That'll be used for show. So it's my dad, man. My dad was, I'm not cheap like in a where it's disgusting way where you're like that person doesn't. Like, I make sure to leave decent tips in places.
Yeah,
that type of thing, but I don't want to spend money where it doesn't need to be spent, no matter the amount. But then sometimes I do.
Are you paranoid about people writing if you don't tip? Like, I took a picture with Scottie Pippen on Instagram a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and like four different people wrote no tipping Pippen.
yeah.
I was like, that's not the most interesting thing about Scottie Pippen. Like, that's not, that shouldn't be what you say.
It comes up a lot with his name.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know.
And the rhyme is really what.
I mean, that's unfortunate that it rhymes that nice. That's bad for him.
The main thing.
Yeah, it is
other
nice.
Other people, yeah. No tipping Britney Spears. Doesn't really flow. Roll off the tongue the same way.
Do you worry about like your rep?
Not my rep. Well, it's just where nightlife is pretty small.
Okay, huh? That's funny. It's a small world, the club nightlife world.
If nightlife and just the rest, if like especially if you go to places a lot and shit, it just makes shit smoother when you come back.
Yeah.
There's this place in Chicago that I go to. And we've done events there, and you know I've taken care of the bouncers there.
Walk me through that.
If we made some money that night, I took care of the security for you know watching the DJ booth or whatever.
Tell me what that means. Give me a number.
Say $100 or something. Right.
Right. That's great. $100 you can't argue with.
Well, it might have been a couple, but it was one night I was back in the spot. And I overhear this guy, he say something, and we having a back and forth, and then the security, they kind of see it happen, and then, you know, they start converging on dude without even saying, and then the guy started saying some other shit, and I was just like, get him out of here.
That's great.
And it was...
It felt good.
But I don't think that happens without tipping.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. No, that's absolutely... You're absolutely right. You became like a drug lord. Just by merit of giving
them. It's just... Sometimes people be on bullshit and...
Yeah.
Just,
yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, you gotta go.
Yeah.
That is nice, though. Like, if you're doing a show and people are making noise and you're like, okay, you know what? You gotta go.
Yeah.
And they just go like, "What? Fuck you!" No, you got. Hey, here's the thing: I can control that. It's one of the things I'm in charge of: is who gets to go.
And nobody, unless you said some wild, mean shit, nobody's ever on the heckler's side.
No, of course not.
It's such an easy turn. These people, they got babysitters. They pay for their night out. They pay for gas money and the ticket. Yeah. They didn't come to see you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they are ostracized.
By the way, speaking of hecklers, in this pilot, me and Hannibal went to that hot dog place, the Wiener Circle.
Oh, we went to dog.
And Tone. And the woman, whoever's like the main lady
the
there.
The roaster, yeah.
She fucking tore us assholes on a level. She was so fucking funny.
Dog, we gotta have her on. She
really?
She yeah. was so fucking funny, like not like with no warning, just immediately saw Hannibal.
She started roasting me. She was at the counter. I'm outside.
Hannibal's on the sidewalk, literally 60 feet away.
They're like giving me just a touch up.
Powder in his makeup.
And then she's like, motherfucker, what you got me getting makeup on for? You're already black as coal. And just started firing. Yeah.
Look at Forrest Whitaker. With his little eyes, his little eye motherfucker.
Off to the motherfucking races after that, dog.
Yeah.
And so I get in there and she firing off. And I try to fire back a little bit. Yeah. I fire back a couple,
But it wasn't. She's got the advantage because she works at a hot dog place, so it's kind of not for us to be like, "Fuck you, you work at a hot dog place." Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can't really hit her back.
Yeah.
But she was like, just
it was just the speed.
What did she say? You bow-legged and knock-kneed.
Yeah.
I mean, just like really sweet, funny, fucking like bang, just hitting hard. Call me Benjamin Button. Call me Chicken Little. like said that I needed some Ensure to drink. I mean.
But then there was a time where I felt like we had gotten all the footage we needed. And then we were just kind of standing there. And then she just kept on roasting us. And I was like, oh, I think I think we need to get out of here, guys.
Your feelings were getting hurt?
It wasn't even feelings getting hurt. It was just like, whoa, I already done took about 30. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, call the fight. So throw in the fucking towel.
Let's go. We got the shot,
yeah,
right, guys?
Yeah, we got what we need.
You remember that lull where it was like kind of a lull a little bit?
Absolutely.
And then she just kept on firing
she
up.
She came at a fucking old couple. Not even old couple. Like 50-year-old fat white dude and an Asian lady. And she's like, look at Peter Griffin and Margaret Cho. Just like immediately.
She was just going in, dog.
Yeah, she might have had a hot hand, like especially hot hand, but she's like, she's fucking funny. Like, she should go on the road. Like, not even, like, she could for real. She's funnier than most. She's funnier than, she's better at that than maybe anyone I've ever seen.
It was just really fast.
Yeah.
It's this guy, Dontario Hudson. Is a guy from Chicago. Where's my phone? He's like, and he just has, that type of style of roasting.
Yeah.
Where he does that split screen thing, and where somebody with a weird look or a weird picture, and then he just he has his catchphrase, and then he just goes in roasting that's how he's built his following. But he has that same pace. He's a Chicago dude too. Where Chicago motherfuckers just know.
Yeah,
how
just
to,
they don't just. Yeah.
Know how to roast. Let me see.
I gotta bake another one on, baby. 21 Savage, your ass frail as hell, boy. You must be ready to attend this barbecue, my brother. Yo, barbecue. Boy, your ass look like you walk around saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. No, if a motherfucker threw a wet piece of rice at your bones, your shit'll break. You're skinny as fuck, boy. Your ass got a body full of catfish bones, little body long leg ass, asparagus leg ass, needle and thread leg ass, Air Max 95 shoestring leg ass, flamingo leg ass, Hey Arnold leg ass, rolled up Band-Aid leg ass, plastic butter knife leg ass. Your shit look like two premature breadsticks from a piece of hut near you, little ugly ass, boy. Anorexic ant looking ass, Rastafari and grasshopper looking ass, honey I shrunk the penguin looking ass, boy, baby boy. If Count Dracula was on a slim fast diet looking ass, boy, every time you go to jail you get out the same hour cause you slide through the bars, little ugly ass, boy, baby. Matter of fact, your ass went on ancestry.com and got a DNA test and found out you the third cousin to the roaches off Man in Black, your little ugly ass, boy, baby.
Wow.
Yeah, I just the rhythm and shit of it is so funny to me.
Yeah, it
he's
feels
like
he
I have to give you 30 jokes.
Yeah, and like he doesn't judge them. He doesn't know which ones. He doesn't care. It's just like this one, that one. I got this one. You like this? How about that? How about over here? Look down there, over there. Like he doesn't. It's just they're all one. It's just they're all the same quality level. Booty ass.
Boot ass.
Yeah, that's some. I like that shit. I respect. I like that. All right, what else did I have on? Oh, me and Hannibal had some not debates, but on the show that I'd like to bring public, which is how long do you think people wear pants for? Meaning, you put on a pair of pants, how many days are you gonna last? How many days? If you're, it's mostly guys because girls wear some pants. Well,
depends on the kind of pants.
Just jeans.
Jeans is a different story. Jeans you could wear for like a month straight.
For real, you'd wear it for a month straight?
Without, I mean, you're taking them off to sleep and to fuck and shit, right?
Yeah, and well, I might leave them on to fuck, you know.
That's how it go.
Well, jeans, well, denim, man, like, especially when you get new denim, you got to break them shits in. So, like, denim doesn't stain well, and breaking denim in is a process. So I've owned a pair of, like, raw denim before. I rocked it for like a week straight because it went with everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And no, I'll take it like 6 days. That's about my limit. Hannibal, what's your limit?
Until something bad happens.
Yeah. They smell or they
stink. Up. Or yeah. I spill some sauce on them. Mm-hmm. Or, you know.
I had to, because I went to D.C. last week before Chicago, so I haven't been home in like 8-9 days.
Yeah.
And I had to get laundry done at the hotel in Chicago. And I got, all right, I had like 2 shirts dry cleaned, 5 pairs of underwear, 5 pairs of socks, and some pants. Anyone want to guess how much that cost?
Oh, that's $103.
It's $108. And I was like, I need fucking insurance for this shit. I need fucking hotel laundry insurance. Like $108. Get the fuck out of here. Like how the and I could, I really had no choice because I couldn't.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't drop it off anywhere because I didn't know. Like they would have been like the hours we were working long hours.
That's bananas.
$108.
Come on, yo. Hey Neil, how's Venice, man?
Venice has a place to live?
Yeah.
It's great, man. They opened a Google and a Snapchat, like their not their headquarters, but they opened offices. So it's just getting like it's getting like cleaner and nicer and like the I'm going to make some money on this again. I sound like a fucking dickhead. But
you got that place a while ago.
I got the place like 7 years ago.
That's where We did the first champs?
Yeah, where we did the first champs. And I got it like 7 years ago, and now it's got to be... They opened Google and Snapchat basically like next door.
Oh,
so I feel like... But I don't really want to move anywhere.
Yeah.
Also, don't you feel like the world's going to end like pretty soon?
Especially from that side.
From the West... Oh, because of Korea?
from right on the ocean.
Yeah. Like, I keep thinking like, oh, I might make a profit on this house. And then I'm like, this fucking world's going to be over.
Yeah.
And like... But I don't know where to go. Like between that's why like
Kansas,
Stanley,
you have be ahead from either side.
Yeah.
What's going on in New York? What's going on over there?
Yeah. Stanley, okay. You know Stanley Kubrick
go straight up into Manitoba.
Stanley Kubrick moved to England because it was the furthest place from like the Russia and the United States in terms of nuclear warheads.
Jesus.
Like in the '60s or seventies. Like he was like, all right, he was that fucked up about it. Between that and global warming, I'm like, what are the odds this shit lasts another 150 years?
The whole world or America?
Yeah. I mean, I think the world as we know it is over in about 20.
Jesus. That's dark.
What do you think, man?
I don't know, but, you know, I mean, if so be it, because I'm like in the middle of my flyest years probably.
Right.
So I would have did what I wanted to do by then. You find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Look,
mommy, I got the X in the taking drugs. I've never liked the club, like the club.
Yeah.
It's just never been my scene. It's always me ending up like standing in the corner.
Yeah.
Watching people get fucking sparklies on their champagne.
Yeah.
Or their bottle services and then, yeah, hot chicks.
Yep.
Douchey music.
Yep.
Douchey.
Assholes.
Yeah. It's... The club scene, I've tried. I've DJed clubs, but I could never immerse myself in that world.
Yeah.
No matter how hard I tried.
These places are the best if you're just working. Like, just go there and work. Do your thing. That's the shit. But, yeah, like, when people, like, hey, Hannibal, thanks for coming. Just wanted to tell you, anytime you're in town, come in. Just like, ugh.
Yeah.
These fucking dirtbags.
They did an after party for us once where it wasn't even they didn't even want us to spin, do nothing. They were just like, just come and we're going to give you money to just chill out.
What spot was that?
I don't remember, but they set up a table.
In Australia.
Was it Australia?
Yeah.
They set up a table. All we had to do was walk in, sit down in the VIP section, and they paid us for it.
That's great.
Yeah.
God bless the club.
They got money like that. You got bottle service, you got money like that.
I mean, it's some people, you know, that shit gets crazy where people get $20,000, $50,000 for a walkthrough.
Yeah.
Just to walk, come through.
Just to have the get
some bottles.
Prestige.
That's what I was. Pictures. Chris Rock was saying last night that he used to DJ.
Yeah.
Like he was like a real, like a wax DJ, like a vinyl DJ. And I was like, you should start doing that and make some real money.
I told him the same thing.
Previously on the Handsome Rambler podcast.
I'm good friends with Prince Paul.
Prince Paul's dope.
And whenever he spins in New York, he lets me know, and I go and I'll spin for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm rusty, yeah.
You
and
should.
People are like, is that Chris Rock?
Hey, man, there's money on the table for celebrity DJs. I pick up a couple grand here and there, and I'm not good at all. I don't blend.
It's seeing you up there. Chris Rock is up there playing music. That's dope.
It's Hannibal people. Burst is up there. It's fun, man.
But we bring the theremin in and the auto tune, and we get crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
we get weird over here, man. You know, shit.
This is
you know.
Yeah. You can get an extra 50 if you wanted to do it separately after the show. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, he'd kill it. He could do a whole tour like that.
You.
100%. Do he could do 15 minutes of stand up. And then DJ. I mean, he wouldn't even. Yeah, he could make.
Oh, you could like, just do what he does. Is DJ. He plays music and just talks shit on the mic.
Yeah. Is that what this is? That's you do the podcast.
You no. need to be playing well, tricks.
It's this, but with just abrupt, weird blends and shit. Yo, do you still do your internet cutoff productivity time? I remember talking
to you
a while ago.
Yeah, the problem
say,
is, yeah, like the last couple years, I've been directing a lot of commercials, and I have to just be on the internet for.
Is this constant notes? Or
yeah,
constant
like I just
test?
Constantly got to like email somebody or look at a thing or like, so I can't do it as much.
Yeah,
but it is. I do. It's still on my computer, but I override it a lot of the time.
Yeah,
but it's a better. You know what else though? You know what I realized is that I'm. In some ways, I kind of need to create, like, chaos in my head in order to write jokes. Like, if I'm, like, sort of more, if I'm more, like, inspired by, like, internet articles and fucking, like, all the, reading the New York Times and then reading Huffington Post and, like, Twitter and Instagram, like, it kind of works for idea generation.
Right.
Like I was going on the internet less, but I think I was writing less jokes, if that makes sense, because I wasn't as inspired or aroused, as it were. But I do recommend it to anybody who has, like, I think it's a straight up an addiction.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like the phone and the and hitting refresh and scrolling down and fucking, like, it's a real problem, and I love it. Like, that's the thing, is like I love my phone. Like, my phone is so great. Like, if someone said no TV or no phone, I'd be like, no TV, get the fuck out of here. It's, it's like fucking not even close. I mean,
do you get like the dopamine when you get the likes? Yeah. Like, when people like it, you're like, oh,
of course. Yeah. It's they've shown, like, they have straight up rehab in Asia now.
Oh, really? Yeah. Shit.
Like, they have straight up rehab. And in South Korea, they have internet rehab.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah. And it's come here too now. Like, if you Google it, it's they have it now in the States. I did a 7-day silent meditation retreat like a year ago. Around here, actually. It was in like north of the Bay. And it was no TV, no radio, no phone. No computer, no writing, no reading.
Whoa.
It was
board
fucking
games?
No board games, nothing. And it was like
just talking, just
no talking.
Silence.
Silence.
Complete silence.
Yes.
But there's other people.
Yeah, there's like probably 40 other people.
So you guys talk to each other like apes, like
no. Yeah. No, we wouldn't talk at all. We didn't and then
just
by
sit
the,
around?
By third but we would meditate all day. And by the third day, the third day, I think we had like little round, like we could talk for 2 minutes about our experience. But by that point, I was like, I don't even want to talk.
Did
like,
you so you didn't?
I did. But it was like pretty brief.
What did it feel like?
It felt well. What I realized is that all of this internet shit, when I used to smoke cigarettes and drink coffee, I would wake up in the morning and like fucking douse myself in coffee and smoke like 5 cigarettes. And like almost shock myself, and I do that now with technology, where it's like I get so stimulated off of the shit that I like sort of wind myself up, and it's not a natural state. I think the natural state is what I was in at the retreat. This is the unnatural state, but it like you forget because we're so surrounded by it.
Do you smoke weed?
No.
See, like, I noticed, because I smoke occasionally now. Nah, I don't smoke like I used to, because I used to smoke, like, every day. Like, I was, like, a wake up and tongue.
Like, all day?
All day, every day. But now I do it occasionally, and when I do it, I notice that I don't fuck with my phone at all when I'm high.
That's interesting.
It's almost like I fear social media. Like,
yeah.
It took me a while to get onto Twitter, because Twitter just felt so, like...
like the Wild West.
It felt like you were exposing so much, and it just felt so connected that I had a fear of it. And then when I'm high, like, I get inside my head, like, I don't want these people knowing my thoughts or where I'm at or what's going on. So, like, I, like, stay away from the phone. Like, maybe weed might help.
Maybe, yeah. You know? I mean, I don't – that's the thing is, like, I got – I think it works. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are people that are addicted to heroin, and they can afford it. Like, yeah. You can – like, we're all addicted to the shit, yeah. But it's a entire society and culture built around that addiction at this point. So I don't think it's, like – I think I'm on the far end of it, like where I'm looking at my phone too much, but like,
yeah.
But I don't think it's like I'm paying a price. Like,
right. Like, you still are, you have a job?
Yeah, I got a job. And that part of the job is that. And like making content and all that shit. But it's not, it's stimulating is the shitty part.
And also, you can accidentally change your life and income through your phone.
Yeah.
Through just some weird video.
Yeah.
And then you think about that shit as bananas.
Yeah, like, I don't know if you, I don't think you have, but I think the internet's, you're a viral dude. Like, you're a viral, Pickle Juice went viral. That was like your first kind of shit.
But I was thinking more just the, you know, the Instagram comedians
and
other, you know, Snapchat people, or how through this DJ Khaled took
100%.
His career.
He's
to
made probably $25 million off of Instagram.
Snapchat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
But yeah, it's so, and it, what makes that so funny about Khaled, I remember watching this video a while back of it was his birthday party, and Lil Wayne and a bunch of other people on stage, Rick Ross, T-Pain, a bunch of rappers on stage at King of Diamonds, and Khaled, like, Lil Wayne is rapping up there, and Khaled is legit just right behind him, just on his phone.
Yeah.
This is a few years ago. I was like, yo, that dude's weird. This is his birthday party. Lil Wayne's rapping right there. And I remember I remember sending it to people like, look at this motherfucker. This
shit
is crazy.
He had his wife's birth at Assad. I know this fucking son's name, Assad, from he was in labor.
But it was just so fun. That was years ago. Seeing that, like, damn, I know I'm into my phone, but I think if Lil Wayne's performing, I'd be like, I'd be like, pocket this real quick, right there, like.
What do you do? You don't do the phone thing, do you, at your shows?
No.
The confiscate phones thing?
No. That shit is...
He was the first to do it, though.
Yeah. I tried it out, and then... I tried it once. They hit me up.
It's too expensive, right?
It's kind of expensive, yeah. You can build it into the ticket price or whatever. Because I don't think it's that many... It's a handful of people. And obviously, my shit doesn't have the same intensity that Rock or Chappelle, where people would put their whole shit online. Chappelle got whole sets online from before he started doing it. But
that's,
I just
like
ask people not to do it.
I just
ask people not to do it and put up signs. And for the most part, people don't do
it. And
you
can also get it removed immediately, right?
Yeah, and I just have my web people. They constantly look for that. And then shout out to Gracie and
shout
Marcus.
Out to Gracie.
Shout out to Gracie. The cleaner.
You know what is great though is this reminded me of watching a lot. But before I had the NBA All Access, you could watch games live on YouTube. If you just hit like Warriors and then
on YouTube,
and then filter live,
mm-hmm.
it'll show you a feed. Like you can go on your computer and just put in like streaming.
Right.
If you go on Reddit or Google or whatever.
Yeah, they're Reddit. Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking great. I really like the internet. I mean, this is kind of a cul-de-sac of a conversation.
Yeah, if you dig around on the internet, you could pretty much find anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Thank you. listening to me.
Internet, got the internet, don't fuck up my internet. It's another link, I did not click it yet. I'm up on the internet. Did you see that video? No, I didn't get it yet. You saw the news, what's going on in Korea? Such and such got gonorrhea. Two rappers got up in the fight. The Memphis Grizzlies won last night. I'm on the internet, I know all of this shit. Yo, Drake fuck Gigi Hadid, or is her name Bella? I know on the internet. Memphis Bleek is still with Rockefeller on the internet. What happened in the Portugal soccer game?
you understand the childish joy of a fake song.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there's nothing more childish than just making songs up.
Just being a noise band. Yeah. A noise band.
Yeah, it's so great.
Well, I mean, in post-production, I'll, like, put some stuff together and try to do beats and make it sound right. But for the most part, yeah, we're just like...
I mean, I'm sure sometimes you can't even get it there.
Sometimes, yeah, it's good the way it is. It's raw emotion.
Just keep it funky, man.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's great advice.
Doom, 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 doom. Doom, doom, boom, boom. Doom, 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 doom. When did Three Mics come out earlier this year or late last year?
Yeah, it came out in January.
January.
Yeah.
It's very brutally honest and good. Very honest.
Yeah, man.
It made me uncomfortable a couple of times.
It's supposed to. I mean, that was kind of the idea, is like, what do I not want to talk about?
Yeah.
Let me talk about that.
That seems like that's, yeah.
And like.
It seems like you were doing like self-therapy up there.
Yeah. But that's, you know, also the thing of like, and then everyone comes up to me and is like, I have blank. Everyone relates to a different part of it. Like, I have depression. I'm hiding. Yeah. I'm my dad. I mean, every single day on Instagram, I get one or two messages of like.
So do you always respond?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. As long as it feels like, you know how on Instagram you'll get where you feel like, oh, this is going to be like a kitten situation? Where, which, like, if I put out some milk, I'm going to have to keep putting milk out for this motherfucker.
Okay, situation. I like that.
Where, like, if I respond to this person, this isn't going to be a one-off. This isn't going to be, like, piece of dialogue. So, there are those people.
You're going to turn into a psychiatrist, basically. Yeah.
There are those people. Because you know they're three questions away from, like, would you watch my stand-up? Or would you... How would you,
can
like...
Can we hang out?
Yeah, can we... And it's like, no.
Oh, man.
Like, where you can, like, look at their page and be like, no, they need this.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Where I'll reply once or twice, and then I'll be like, I don't want to keep this going.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can tell that meant a lot to them. And you're like, yeah, I'm happy that it meant a lot to you, but, like...
All right.
I can't... I'm not, we can't keep doing this. This can't go on.
Kitten situation. I like
yeah,
that.
It's good. A kitten. It's, you put a little milk out. It's in Pootie Tang. There's a scene where he puts milk out.
Yeah.
And everyone comes to the door. It's probably my favorite scene in Pootie Tang, where women come and drink milk from in front of Pootie's door. It's a great fucking scene. But Three Mics came out and it was, people were nice about it, so. Like, it's fucking Netflix has so many people.
It's a lot of people.
A lot of people have Netflix. And it's fucking cool as shit.
They've taken over the comedy world, it feels like.
It's not even close. I don't think anyone can even compete.
They took it over so much that the Def Jam reunion
was on Netflix.
That's crazy.
The HBO franchise went to Netflix.
Wow.
It would be like the New York Knicks doing a tribute to Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Basically. By the way, I've got to give a shout out to an Instagram account called Jumpman History, where they just have old footage of Michael Jordan, and it's all fucking amazing.
Oh, I'm gonna love that one.
It's so great. Okay. Like, it's so great. Yesterday they showed his second game in the NBA, and it's like
he was balling.
It's fucking crazy. Insane. It's like his. It's almost like if you just said like it was his all time highlights. It was one game. It was the second game in the NBA, and if it was like, if that had been his only game, it would have been like a montage from anyone else's whole career. But this was just one game. Michael Jordan good at basketball. I always say that.
You said Michael Jordan is good at
basketball.
Oh.
Oh, boom. Yeah. We up in this bitch. We on the phone. Everybody got the same ringtone. The phone rang. I don't give a fuck if the phone rang. I'm gonna sing. Going insane. Talking about internet. Looking at the phones. You know we don't give a shit. Yeah. Sounding like T-Pain. I haven't drank in a few days. I feel great.
Wow. I got a lot of energy.
And so Hannibal's been not drinking. We had a good time in Chicago. Hannibal said a lot of funny shit. It was a good time. We shot in Chi. And we shot quickly. That was the other thing.
It's fast. Like, yeah. How many locations was that the first day?
The first day, we must have gone to 8 places. Because I was texting somebody all the places we went to, and I forgot about, like, the museum.
Yeah, we went to that museum. We went to...
We went on, like, a river ride.
I forgot the name. It's on Lakeshore Drive.
It's the Museum of Surgery. It was pretty fucking interesting.
Oh, wait. I think I know. It's... Yeah. Chicago Historical.
Yeah.
The Chicago Historical Museum, right?
But it was about medicine, surgery. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
We went to the hot dog place.
It was in Hyde Park, right?
Went to Sluggers. No, it's on Lakeshore, like in 1500.
Oh, you went to Sluggers.
We went to Sluggers. We rode the fucking train by ourselves. We commandeered the L.
Sluggers is like douchebag haven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I realized I had never been in Sluggers. It's just blocks where you just like, I've been coming to this area for goddamn 16 years or seven, and I've never.
That whole block is just, you know what that is? It's just a bunch of, it's all the suburban kids who move into the city and turn the part of the city into the suburbs.
Yeah.
That's what it is over there.
Yeah.
It's douchebag central. I can't stand it. I go there to see the Cubs and. To see shows at the Metro, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's an awful neighborhood.
Remember John Barleycorn?
Yeah, I remember that. I used to DJ there back in the day.
It was this bar called John Barleycorn, a couple floors. It's just I don't know what I was doing back then. I was going out a lot with zero money. Just going out completely broke.
And you would get in?
It wasn't a cover charge play. Oh, yeah, just be there.
And what do they have deals or something?
Sometimes, I guess. I mean, you might have a friend buy some drinks or something. It's just broke shit.
I used to DJ at the spot called Trey Villa.
Uh-huh.
And so one night they shorted me on my pay. This is something ridiculous. They paid me like $20 for spending for like 4 hours. And they had a downstairs bar, but they didn't open it that night because it was like a Wednesday. So I'm like, Animal, let's go downstairs and fucking rob these fools. So we went to the downstairs bar and we just cuffed as many bottles as we could. Like grab the top shelf shit, let's get the fuck out of here.
Great.
And we just went back, to the spot and was just more liquor than we could drink for a week.
This is after you guys graduated from school?
This is post-college.
Were you doing stand-up at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his open mic days, and that was DJing for $20 and free beer days.
And just straight up just struggle. Cold snitched on us.
Who snitched?
I'm joking about Tony. Snitching now.
This doesn't even exist anymore.
I know, motherfuckers, they probably own a bar in Chicago.
They got long memories, man.
I remember we were sold on the Great Goose.
If they would have paid me correctly,
hey,
none of this would have happened.
Business is business. You gotta, and they that was when we took two bottles or three.
No, we took like four.
Yeah.
We took two bottles of Grey Goose, bottle of whiskey, and a bottle of something else. And you kept singing the Nas lyric. You were like Grey Goose and a whole lot of hydro. Yeah. You kept saying that.
Sounds about right. I like on the nose.
Yeah.
Song lyrics. When you situational.
Absolutely.
Yo, we you know, it's this song Migos got and one of the lines.
The Rap Snacks one? You was, no, popping that the other day at the deli.
Yeah, because the store we were shooting in had Rap Snacks, so I kept on playing Dabba Ranch. But they also have a song, what's it called? Motherfucking Tired. That's the name of it. Motherfucking Tired off of the album Culture. And they got a line where he say, I just got a burger from Five Guys.
Hey, go. I just fucked the model bit five times. I just ate a burger from Five Guys.
And you do that?
And we ordered some Five Guys when we were out at Coachella, and I just kept on playing that line over and over.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I just got a burger from Five Guys. It just felt great.
Yeah, great.
Why not?
You fuck with festivals, right?
Yeah.
Just enjoy the whole scene?
I mean, as a performer, I enjoy doing my show and then being able to just go chill and watch shit. And
it's nice to be able to do stand-up and then not have to watch stand-up.
Yeah, and just chill.
Like, it's a fucking treat.
Yeah, watch all type movies. It's just fun. You get to see... I mean, I enjoy getting... just because of, you know, how we travel, we get to see people we don't normally see and hang out and shit, so...
But this year, we got... I personally felt festivaled out. We didn't like...
Did maybe six festivals.
We did six
summer.
Festivals, but then I went to, like, four because my friends just randomly have, like, VIP pass.
Yeah.
You can't turn that down.
Yeah.
I was at Lollapalooza standing next to Anthony Rizzo and Obama's daughter. Just, you know, like,
Obama daughter!
You can't...
Who's Anthony Rizzo?
Cubs player.
Oh, all right. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Ha. Yeah. Loud. Getting drunk, throw my ice in the crowd. Wow, gap to smile since I was a young child. Wow, smoke a whole carton of Pall Malls. Got the black and mild, switched up my rapping style. I'm friends with Jesse McIntyre. Go to the strip club, I don't smack ass, I be smacking thighs. You be attracting lies. This my rap disguise. Grinning on the theremin, the shit is smoking like the tenders of a Nancy Kerrigan. I didn't get the delivery right on that, but the grinning on the theremin, the shit is smoking like the tenders of Nancy Kerrigan. It needs some syllables out. Hold up, I'm gonna nail this line. Grinning on a theremin, this shit is spinning like the tendons of Nancy Kerrigan. I cut my hair again, I cut it every week. I'm a black dude, I gotta have a fresh cut in the streets. Nah, I get scruffy. Vampire, your mom's is Buffy. Imagine seeing your mom. Yo. Imagine seeing your mom's on Flavor of Love. Yeah, mama, is that you? Why Flavor Love kissing you in the mouth in front of cameras? I really can't understand this. What's up with this era of television? You and 10 other women was trying to get attention from Flavor? Yeah. Yeah.
eliminated all season two of Flavor Love. What is that reality? Is it just a similar reality? Now that I think of it, it's probably something that you don't think of too much. But
that was dope as fuck, bro. That was one of the most cohesive sessions we've had.
Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah, I felt you were in the pocket.
I got in the pocket, yeah.
You were in it.
I was laughing as hard. If you want to see me laugh, if anyone ever needs footage of me laughing really hard, when you started talking about Nancy Kerrigan and Flavor of Love, I was literally, I felt pure ecstasy. And I thought if we, this would be some kind of life if we were to figure this out.
Yeah,
and become a real outfit and go on the road,
yeah,
and just do nonsense.
I'm down.
I'm trying to figure out how to figure this out for television. I'm trying to figure out how to, you know what I mean?
As its own show.
Yeah,
just that segment.
No, the whole podcast. I want to convert it into a television show.
All right, let's talk this out. TV loves segments. That's what Eric Andre is, probably the most Dada fucking abstract Bing Bong show of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People love that show too.
But, and the reason it works is because it feels like whatever sequence you're in is not going to last more than 40 seconds.
True.
Right.
And then you can do the freeze and the
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're on to the next one. If you figured out a way to do those, I mean, you would almost, if you had directions for the songs, that would help. If it was just like people wrote in and the people need a song about whatever.
Right.
And then you could take it from there. And I want Hannibal on the theremin and the autotune. Fuck, that made me laugh so hard. There was just a real, that's my favorite shit in the world. Is what we just did. That level of nonsense.
Yeah.
That's really like any girlfriend I've ever had will tell you, like, oh, and editor Bijan, who edited Chappelle Show and a bunch of other shit, knows that I love nonsense.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think we're all on the same page here.
Yeah. So if you figure out a way to do. What's that?
I think our cameras are dead.
Oh. It's all good. That's camera's fine. Dead. That's what I said. We don't need no cameras. This is shit is bonus footage. If you just listening, you're going to get it on your foot. Get it. Da-da-da-da. Walking down the street up in Oakland. I'm trying to catch. That's a tough beat to catch, but I want to try to catch it.
You can do it.
Yeah. Went up into the street. Went up into the cupboard, grab everything I need, put it all in the oven. I'm burning all over my spine. That was about to be a song about burning up everything from the pantry to the oven. Put it from the pantry, to the oven. Hey, from the pantry to the oven.
Burn it up
from the pantry to the oven. From the pantry
to the oven.
Burn it up.
Burn it up.
Burn it up.
Burn it up.
Grab it. Put the paprika in the oven. What? You say it don't go there, it go where I put it. Put it up in there, turn it to 400. Burning paprika, shit smell all spice. The plastic is melting, the shit is not nice. Leave it melting, and it's burnt. The shit is done, now it's my turn. Go back to the cupboard. Gotta find something else to put up in the oven. Let's go with the pepper. With the peppercorns and the grinder. Say don't put it in there. Where's this plastic come from? Looks like made in China. No matter, still put it in the oven. You say don't burn pepper. You're supposed to put it on something? Nah, gonna put it in the oven. Straight burning. Pepper burning. Now the shit is all smelling. Now I'm sneezing up in the kitchen, cause the pepper fumes got me dripping. Goddamn, shouldn't I put that pepper in the oven? Gotta leave the room, grab a gas mask. Nah, gas mask, that's a bit too much. I grab one of those masks that everybody that wear when they live in Japan. Yeah, that's light enough, not enough material, but it gets the job done. Put something else in the oven. Yeah, grab. Yeah. So there's that.
That's the shit. Is you'll just be sitting here, and then one of us will catch it.
Yeah.
And you just gotta go.
The
spirit. You gotta go in.
Yeah. The spirit.
You conjure it up.
Yeah, man.
And you fucking serve it. You give it out.
Well,
you know what I mean.
This party has got to come to an end.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
It was
but
fun.
I feel like, as a fan of the clips of the show,
yeah,
it was. And I would always think, the fuck is when is Hannibal gonna bless me with an appearance? I feel like this is as I mean, I'm a little under the weather, so
yeah.
You'll have to forgive me. But I feel like I'm really strangely proud of the fact that we had one of what you consider one of the better.
That was one of the most cohesive ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels good.
You felt it. You caught it. Went with it.
It was when the Nancy Kerrigan shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
Brennan on a theremin.
Burning
it up like the tendons of Nancy Kerrigan.
let's take it out on the song, okay?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Burning it up like the tendons of Nancy Kerrigan. Goddamn, why she asks? Jokes, y'all gon' do jokes about me 26 years later. Goddamn, motherfuckers, ease up. I'm just chillin', I got fucked up, and y'all still doing jokes, goddamn it. I'm Nancy Kerrigan, I'm sitting since then deceased. Nancy Kerrigan, I'm sending assists and assists. hold up, fuck up that line. I'm Nancy Kerrigan, I'm sending assists and assists.
Sorry you didn't like the song, I'm sorry you're pissed.
Nancy Kerrigan, my apologies, I'm so sorry, B. But that much rhymes with Britain on the therapy. Sentence Nancy Kerrigan, like, I mean, come on, you gotta respect the line, Nancy. If we were out, I'd be dancing, doing the two-step up in the club. Do donuts while I eat a donut, that's what's up, that's my rap crutch. I go back to that line like a false start. You got a mouse heart. Yeah.
Thank you, Brendan.
Yeah.
That was awesome.